Welcome.
Like the beard. These things happen sometimes. Also, Thursday, this year usually Thursday is at 11, but this Thursday we're going to have start at 11:30, so it'll just be a little bit shorter. But once we get back to next week, you know, after Labor Day,
welcome.
Welcome. Then we'll hopefully get back to the regular, regular schedule. First of all, it'll be, just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, we want to welcome Avram back from his year away. He was in a good place, but we're happy to have him back. And he has kindly consented to be the cheer assistant with some, additional help, right, from Josh and Avrami, right? It's not coming as news to them, I hope. Okay, so we just in advance... it's hopefully a rewarding position, but definitely also a demanding one. So I just want to thank him for, assuming the post, and to thank them also for consenting to help out. And we look forward to all good things, catering and but especially the Chazar Shir. And people who have issues with Chavrusas should really see Avram. We'll try to get together a list so people are properly paired off and ready to go. And many other issues as well. We'll try also to start, we always say this and, it always ends up dragging on a lot, but we'll try to meet with the new people, as soon as we can, maybe hopefully starting next week, just to get to know everyone. And, of course, if any of the returnees... have any need to speak to me or to see me, just let me know, knock on my door. If it's something more urgent, we'll start with that as well. Okay, so that's the schedule. Everybody knows, I'm sure, and the basic protocols. Were there some question about Svarim or not? Or we're good?
Here we go.
What? Okay, so again, if there are any other Svarim that people want to know about or want, again, what I know is, there's the very big volume here, Arzaka Tchulin, and of course, the Rishonim al Atar, but there's a healthy group of Chachmei Svarad for Tchulin, unlike Bava Kamma, where we kind of missed that. But the Ramban, Reichman Ramban in the end? That is the one, right? Okay, so people should have access to the Ramban, and of course the Rajba, the Ritva. There's also Ra'ah, on Chulin, and of course, just access to Torah Sabayis and some of the topics. Torah Sabayis is the very fascinating work of the Rajba and the critique of the Bedek HaBayis of the Ra'ah. Very entertaining, but more important, substantively very crucial for many topics. They get a little heated in the Mukhamta Shel Torah, but that's I think inspiring. We can talk about that. The Kvod Shemayim, Dorshim. But again, you should have access to that. And of course, the Meiri al Atar. There is a reworked Shita Mekubetzes. Is that on the list that went out also? Shita Mekubetzes. It could be there are competing ones, even. I'm not really sure. I know I have one edition. It could be there's another one. Eli isn't here. He's God in Israel. So I guess, we'll have to find out from him. But that's something you should also have access to. And in terms of, there's Tzivim, Mesada has some interesting, important pieces. And, of course, access to Yoredeia. We're giving everybody smicha at the end of the year. So, of course, if you pass the midterm and the final. We're not going to focus so much on technique, but definitely on the halachos. But you should have access to the Yoredeia and what's in there, the shocks in particular. Sometimes the Nesivos. The Nesivos has a parish of Yoredeia called the Chavos Das, which is always very interesting. And that's pretty much. Was there anything else I left out? What else is there?
I've been on the website.
All these things.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see this, but if the remarks are superfluous, then we appreciate it. Okay, so that is the that's the idea. We're going to start from the we're going to be doing the first parak of Chulin, which is in Yanei Shechita, but touches on a lot of broader themes and topics as well. And the Marmokomos you already received. So today will be a shorter shiur, obviously. Again, I assume people are just beginning to prepare, and then Thursday we'll continue. That will be 9:30. And then next week, again, is a bit of a truncated week because you have Labor Day. So Tuesday, Thursday next week, but that should be regular time. And then after that, we'll be going a regular way. We'll also have Mondays something we haven't figured out yet. We'll try to take a bit of an internal poll to see what people are interested in doing on Mondays, but the schedule at least and the general idea is welcome back. The general schedule is something that you you're probably all already familiar with. Okay, so let me begin as the list is going around. Let's have a little bit of a hakdama, I guess, to the hakdama to the hakdama. So, really, Chulin, of course, in the beginning, Perek two prakim in particular, which deal with Shechita, discuss the problem of, you know, what is the proper halachic way to go about consuming meat, achilas basa. And again, I formulated that way very intentionally. The truth is that this is an important way of looking at the, at least at the beginning of the Masechta, and especially at the mitzvah of Shechita, and the centrality, you know, that it seems to have achieved, you know, in the world of halacha. It's not just a question of, you know, how to avoid, or this is one of the things we're going to try to determine, so I don't want to prejudice the case. One could look at Shechita, let's say it this way, in narrower way. You know, the Torah has certain requirements, and there's a gisra of nevela, and you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat a treifa. Shechita is the method of avoiding those two isurim, and it's, you know, the matir, if you will, for eating meat. And at the end of the day, that's you know, it's a procedure and a technique which has to be followed precisely. Kasher tzivisicha, to use the language of the Torah. There's a mesorah of what that means in terms of, you know, psulim, and so on and so forth. And basically, you know, what gives chulin then and shechita its importance and significance is just that alone, the role that it plays. I mean, people are carnivores, you know, most people, and they do eat meat, and therefore eating meat in a halachically permissible and proper way is, by definition, an important topic. Certainly, pragmatically, it's an important topic. The question is whether or not there isn't more to it, you know, than that. And whether or not meat eating, or being a carnivore, I guess, is not something which also has bigger or assumes greater proportions and significance. In which case, you know, the rule, the halachic rules that govern how properly one goes about and does that, you know, themselves, I'm not talking about tame mitzvos, you know, and the nitty-gritty necessarily, but at least in the bigger idea of the mitzvah, it really symbolizes or crystallizes not just the right way to do something, you know, which is an important aspect of, you know, human conduct, you know, but something which is maybe symbolically, as I say, reflective. This is obviously my preferred view and the one that I'm going to try to, you know, demonstrate, a reflection of Kedushas Yisrael. And in which case, Shechita isn't just, you know, as I say, a mechanism to achieve a certain result. It is because it achieves that result, and that result is not so such a davar pashut, you could say, because of that, the significance that it holds and the centrality that the Torah and that the halacha seems to project for it become a bigger issue as well. why should one even be thinking in these terms? That's a very good question. The answer is because there is a certain, very, very important history to meat consumption or carnivorous human behavior. As we know, Pasuk in the very beginning of the Torah, in Bereishis, we know that at the time of Adam, that meat was prohibited. It was not part of the initial diet of not only Klal Yisrael, but there was no Klal Yisrael at that time, of man, of Adam. When Adam was created, right, he was given for food source, and it explicitly did not include meat. Torah tells us, again, it's fascinating the context, in Pasuk Chav Zayin in Perek Aleph, it's Vayivra Elokim es Adam b'Tzalmo, Tzelem Elokim baro oso, Zachar u'Nekeva baro osam, Vayivarach Hashem Elokim v'yomer lahem, Elokim peru urvu milu es ha'aretz v'kivshua, right? Urdu b'dgas hayam u'ba'of ha'shamayim, u'b'chol chaya, right, haromeses al ha'aretz. That implies that man, even then, at this point, was viewed as the telos, as the main object of creation, and that he was intended to have mastery, dominion, if you will, over the rest of the creatures that were created. That's all clear. And yet, by Yomer Elokim, Hine Nasati Lachem is called Esav Zorea Zera, Ashal Pnei Kol Haaretz, right? Yes, Kol Haetz Asher Bo, Priet Zorea Zera Lachem, Ie La'achala. And then the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Lamed, Vil Kol Chayas Haaretz, Vil Kol Of HaShemayim, Vil Kol Romeis Al Haaretz, Asher Bo Nefesh Chaya, Es Kol Yerek Esav La'achala, Vayihichi. Okay, and that's that leads into Vayhi Erev Vayivoker Yom HaShishi, actually. This is kind of the end of the, that certain part of creation. So what emerges is that even though man was intended, as I say, to be the master and the focal point of creation, it's an anthropocentric bria, right? Notwithstanding, the claims of, the animal activists, even from the very beginning, man, was the focal point of creation. Nonetheless, right, there is this prohibition to eat meat. And that's what the Torah tells us. We also know that all of that changed after the Mabel. But this is Perek Tes, of course, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, where the Torah says, where's the Perek Tes? I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel, not Mabel Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, we're in the aftermath of beginning a new world, literally. This is one of the things I want to emphasize. So, Noach, survives, and this is part of an interesting question, right? Either is, kind of creates a new world, or is able to resume, the previous world. The answer is, somewhere, in between. In some respects, he's, presiding over a new world, after the failure, in a way, of the previous world. Or maybe the previous world is a shlav, it's a necessary chapter to reach this world. It's another way of looking at it. We'll look at that in just a second. But either way, there is a continuity in some respects, and there's also a new beginning, in other respects. So it's fascinating to put under a microscope, what it is that has changed, in this post-Mabel, Noach, world as opposed to the other world. And whatever has changed, we should be analyzing, to try to, figure out whether that change is, significant, whether it reflects really a new reality, or maybe this is the way it always was supposed to be. Are these differences consequences of man's failure and a reflection of, let's say, a more limited spiritual aspiration for him? It's one way to look at it. Or is it the opposite? Is, having, cleared away, I guess, the you know, all of the spiritual, you know, clutter or failure, you know, of Adam's world. Maybe this is, you know, an evolution. Maybe this, you know, is progress, you know, for spiritual man. That's an interesting question. Probably the answer, again, is not a simple answer. You know, there may be elements of both, or in some respects, you know, progress, and in other respects, a regression. But at least these are questions to ask. And we're not going to analyze all Parsha now, because we have a specific agenda. But in the end of the day, any big change from the world of Adam to the world of Noah has to be looked at least in this way. The one that we're interested in is the, more very specifically, the heter of Achilas Basar, and the question whether or not that's a step up or a step down, and also what relationship it betokens in terms of man and animal. Has that, you know, relationship changed? So the Torah tells us that Vayivarech Elokim es Noach ve'es banav ve'yomer lahem pru urvu milu es haaretz. I always like to point out, in the Mefarshim speak about this, that, you know, a lot of these psukim that we're about to read already foretold to Adam, right? So why are they repeated to Noach? And the answer, you know, or at least the issue, goes exactly to what we just talked about. That you have a new reality, so sometimes you need to restate, you know, the old rules still apply, notwithstanding the new reality. Either notwithstanding the new reality, or that those parts of them are an overlap, right? Or, you know, if we really look under a magnifying glass, maybe what we'll find is that what seemed to be a restatement is a subtle, you know, reformulation, and that, you know, some of the, you know, nuances have changed in this new reality. So again, that's in general terms. By Baruch Elokim es Noach ve'es banav, it's pruvu milu es haaretz, a parallel to the Adam, but with some slight differences in emphasis and in formulation. And then we're told, u'morach v'chitchem yeh al kol chayas haaretz, right, that you will, you know, strike fear, I guess, or terror, meaning animals will recognize, you know, and respect, I guess, human dominion. B'kol of Hashemayim, b'kol asher termos adama, b'kol d'geayam, b'yedchem nitanu. Here we're told that they are also given to you. Right? Is that something new, or is that again a restatement? Kol remes asher uchai. Right? This is new. Lachen yeh la'achla. Kiyarek Esev Nasati Lachem is called. Kiyarek Esev Nasati is a reference to what Adam was told in Bereishis, and now we're being told that the diet has been expanded to include also animals under these circumstances. So the question is, right, how do we really understand that difference? It's also fascinating that the Torah then continues to say, "Ach basar b'nafsho damo lo tochelu," very important, meaning I'm giving you a heter basar, but that should not be construed, you know, as meaning that there are no rules or that there are no low limits. There are. Again, according to Rashi, this is a reference to Avraham and Achai. Hopefully, at some point, we'll be able to pursue all these questions, you know, in greater detail. But for now, it's part of that Dhamma. Rashi says that this is a reference to Avraham and Achai. Now everybody agrees. Kozman shenafsho bedamo, right, lo tochal abasar. And as well, possibly, the av damo lo tochelu is dam ben achai. So ach basar ben afsho damo lo tochelu. And then the question, of course, that it raises is, so this is a fact, in the context of the Torah telling us that there is going to be a heter achilas basar, which is something new, in the post-Mabel era, but you should know that there are limitations. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that there is a heter of achilas basar. However, there's also a remnant of the iser of achilas basar from the time of Adam. And that is expressed in some of these limitations. In other words, are eva menachai and dam menachai and other limitations called, you know, behema tmeya, which is not permitted to be eaten, are these, you know, additional halachos, or are they, you know, the old, you know, resonating echo, you know, of the pre Noach Heter. Right? Things to think about. Then we're told, "Bi'achas dimcham l'nafshal seichem edrosh miad kol chayad v'shana miad ha'adam miad ish achiv edrosh asnefesh ha'adam shofech dam ha'adam b'damo ba'adam damo yishafech ki b'tzelem elokim asad ha'adam yatem pru urbu shirtzu ba'aretz urbuba." So second, you know, mention of pru urbu, another reiteration of something that existed in the Adam context, namely b'tzelem elokim asa et ha'adam. And a heavy emphasis on you can eat meat, but that doesn't mean that you can spill the blood of your fellow man, right? An emphasis on the need, you know, to behave, you know, appropriately in inter-human relationships. So the question again is, and the Mefarshim discuss it. They have different views. Again, we're not going to go into detail. But how do we understand all of this? You know, so is it that, you know, there's a big heter here, and therefore we want to know, again, the limits, factually, just to know, you know, what's mutter and what's not. You might think if you can kill an animal, you can kill a human being, right? And or if you can eat an animal, you know, then you can eat an animal, you can eat Eber Menachai, and you can eat Dam Menachai. And there's a lot of Giluye Milsa and Kamash Balans telling you, you know, that is not correct. Or, again, the second way to look at this is that, you know, there are implications here about, you know, the context. Namely, if achilas basar was no big deal, if this change was no big deal, then maybe we wouldn't need to reiterate, you know, tzelem Elokim and the prohibition or the implied prohibition already against spilling human blood, even taking, you know, one's own life, which is based on pasuk here. Achaz dimchem v'nav shoseichem, right? Edro, which is a prohibition also against against suicide. So basically, is the idea that, you know, just because there is a heter v'achilas basar, which might imply, you know, a certain more cavalier, more insensitive, again, more carnivorous, more aggressive, you know, posture, like, are we moving away from spirituality? You know, is this a recognition that, you know, once you allow for the taiva of basar or even the heter of basar, that you need to, you know, reiterate these things? Or is it even more than that? Is it an implication, you know, that these things might have been connected? Either way, the psukim are very, very, very fascinating. And there are, as I say, different, if you just look at the range of the parshim, Rishonim and then the Achronim, in terms of what they say, there's just gems to be, you know, collected, you know, from the various insights. And mikatze ala katze, and some of them are not mutually exclusive. Some are and some are not either, but even some of the mikatze ala katze are not mutually exclusive of these ideas. Okay. Getting back more specifically to the question of the meat, so, which stands, I think, undeniably, not just because we happen, you know, to be learning the beginning of Kulin, so it's a good topic, but I think it's undeniable that the, you know, the heter of achilas basar stands, you know, as the most explicit change, and as carrying with it, again, the need to reiterate either the changed stance of the Torah regarding some of these issues or the continuity of it. So it sounds like, from these psukim, that this change from, call it a vegetarian to a, you know, to a meat diet is something which either does, or at least conceivably could, have a huge impact on how you look at man's relationship with other animals, and even the, you know, man as a physical, and as a physically, let's say, focused or oriented creature. Okay. Again, there are some, you know, practical and conceptual, you know, aspects to this question too, which I'm not going to get into right now, but the whole question of, you know, the value of being a vegetarian, right? So let's say somebody, many people are vegetarian, some people do it for dietary reasons, some people who, you know, who do it for principled reasons. And does the halacha, you know, assign any weight and significance to that? Like, you know, being, if you look at, you know, meat eating as a concession, and you think that, you know, the original creation of Adam you know, was the ideal. And that, on the contrary, it stirs appetites and creates all sorts of challenges, which we're able to, you know, to manage. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about the end. So then, again, reverting to, you know, a pre-Noach, you know, model, maybe more ideal. On the other hand, if you think that, on the contrary, this is a, you know, an evolved state, then there's no value, you know, in avoiding it. On the contrary, maybe I don't know if it's a kiyum eating meat, but certainly nothing implied that's, you know, problematic about it. So then, you know, then you're going to have a different perspective. In any case, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Tesum Beis, elaborates this general idea of the discrepancy between Adam and post-Mabel, the Adam HaRishon lo hutar lo basar la'achila. Apagav b'chsiv, the Gemara says, you know, the, you know, redu b'degei hayam, etc. That refers to malacha. It doesn't refer to achil du b'degas hayam, rubot ha-shamayim, hanu l'malacha. Meaning that means man has, you know, dominion over the animals, but it doesn't mean he's able to consume them. But in any case, that's what the Gemara establishes. There is a major machlokas. There are a few major machlokas on Rishonim regarding both the original prohibition to eat meat in the time of Adam, as well as understanding the transition to Noach. And surely they might be significant, at least, you know, to the bigger question that we're discussing, which is, you know, how to look at this change, and therefore how to look at the halachos that govern, which is what we're really interested in, you know, meat eating or meat consumption, carnivorous behavior, namely shechita, you know, but at the same time the Isser of Eivor Menachai and Dam Menachai, the Isser of Nevela, the Isser of Trefa, etc. The first one, of course, is the question of what it really meant, you know, when a man was initially prohibited, you know, to eat meat. So the Bali Tosas in Sanhedrin, again, I didn't want to give you the Sanhedrin comma so much because I think I gave you enough probably for the first few days. And those are the real makoros of the more specific topic, so that's why some will do without. The Bali Tosas in Sanhedrin, I forgot to bring the Sanhedrin, on Nun Tesum Beis, have a mechudash view, I think mechudash, but it also seems to be the view of Rashi, in his Perush al Torah, Rashi, Dirvasko Hinuni Nosein, in the beginning of Bereshis. And that is, it seems, again, it's clearer in Rashi once you know the Tosis, where it's very explicit, and that is that there never was an Isser of Achilas Basar per se. It was only an Isser of killing an animal and eating it. So if you bring about the death of the animal, then it's prohibited to eat. However, if you come across, you know, a carcass, a dead animal, right, then that would be mutar b'achila. That is the view of the Bali Tosa. That sounds like Rashi holds that way as well. If you look at Rashi in the beginning here, what did I say? Perek Aleph Pasuk Pesach Chavtes. Rashi says, L'chem yeh la'akla, kol chaya sa'aretz. We'll get back to this other part in a minute. Yishvo lehem ha'kosuv, behemos v'chayos l'machol. We'll get to that. V'lo hirsha la'adam v'l'ishto l'chamis birya v'lechol basar. Ha'kol yerek esev yokul yachad kuma. K'shemo b'nei Noach hita lehem ha'basar, sh'nem ha'kol remes asher u'chai, ki yerek esev, sh'itarti l'olim ha'rishon, asati l'chem es kol. So if you read carefully the language of Rashi, it sounds like he holds that what is prohibited, or here shall adam ishto lachamis birya v'lechol basar. Not 100% mukra. Maybe he's just talking like dibra kasuv or dibra Rashi behoved. That's usually what's going to happen. You don't usually, you know, happen upon, you know, a dead animal. So if we're talking about diet, we're usually talking about being proactive, taking the initiative, you know, in creating, you know, the reality. So Rashi can't do that. It's prohibited. maybe the implication in Rashi, if you want to interpret Rashi differently, is that if, right, basar were permitted, if you don't want to interpret Rashi like Tosfos meaning, suggesting, if behema were permitted to be eaten, then it would also be permitted to kill the animal to eat it. But because it isn't, it isn't. That's different than, you know, saying that the limitation to begin with is misasah behema. Yeah.
Well, the safe of this Rashi sounds like that because he
what?
The safe of this Rashi sounds like that second option. Because then he goes ahead and he doesn't say it's hitter
laharo
or
lishko.
Like, well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good ha'ara. So even though a lot of people do associate this Rashi with Tosis, I'm not 100% sure about it. Again, we can understand where they get it from, surely. But I think Natan's ha'ara is a good one as well. But then the question is, like, how would you explain it? So I'm suggesting how you'd explain it. Namely, that's already important, if that's true, what I'm saying there. It's important. Meaning, if it's true that, you know, that there's a heter, achilas basar, that brings, you know, with it a heter. Now, if you look at the Bali Tosis, though, as they clearly that's not how they learn. So for the Bali Tosis, there are two things that you could still say, or two perspectives, I think, that you could take. Yeah.
Yeah, the Gurari also doesn't read Rashi like Tosos. He reads Rashi that...
Oh, I meant to look it up, actually.
Yeah, the Gurari, he says, he gives different explanations. He knows Salah Nigeria, but he doesn't think that implies...
That's limited to that.
Yeah.
And he quotes Tosis, I assume.
Right.
So what does he say the Pshat and Rashi is?
Basically, if he allowed to eat basar, then man would eat would end up killing every animal. So
it's like this is a siag doraisa,
yeah.
to protect the preservation society. So there is a bucker for the preservation society. It's interesting because some of them farshim that fits in well say that at the time of Noach, what really changed was that, you know, since they brought behema as a carbon, so I'm not going to try to finish all this today, but maybe I'll mention it in this manner. Since they have a chance to bring as a carbon, so there was like a haftaka by the Rabbona Shel Olam that, you know, we won't run out of animals. Right? So that works actually very well with that idea of the Maral. Okay, so the Maral, that's not what I said, but that's... So again, very good, thank you for that. So the Maral basically says that Rashi is not like Moses, but it's a kind of a siag d'oraisa to protect the animals, which takes away from the, you know, prohibition, you know, to eat it, in a way. Like, it ends up being, you know, again, preservation of an ecological, you know, or animal rights, you know, kind of thing, rather than Tzelem Elokim, you know, nature of man, relationship to animals, etc. So that's interesting. You should definitely put that on the record. My suggestion is a little bit different. I'll just repeat it, and that is that maybe what Rashi really wants to tell us is that these two things are connected, but in the other direction. Namely, there's an Isur Achila, and for that reason, there's also, or not necessarily for that reason, but you know, and hence, you know, that is consistent, you know, with I guess discouraging at least achilas harigas of behema. But had there been a heter of achila, then there would have been a, you know, there wouldn't be a separate iser of behema. What's interesting is the Prabali Tosis. What did the Bali Tosis have in mind? Anybody have the Sanhedrin, Tosin Sanhedrin? You have a language? I just forgot to bring it. Yeah. So, in Tosin, it's clear, right, that is the case. The Adrama also quotes this as a Deya, and then he rejects it. The Adrama says, I don't understand. If this is really the point, then really the Torah should have emphasized. I'm evolving, but not too much. One second. the Torah should have focused on the Isser of killing the animal. Right? Which it doesn't. Ah. Membership? Oh, that's ironic. Okay. One second. Let's see if I have the language here. Code. Oh, it didn't work. One second. Do you have the Yadamar's language? Nothing? Wait. Oh, I thought I took a picture of this. Okay. I barely have it, just like the top of the thing. So I have if it was mutter to eat but usur to kill it and eat it, then lishmeinan, I just got cut off, so I didn't do a good job. Lishmeinan de lo hutar lo lahamis. Ah. Okay? And I think some achronim understood the Bali Tosis this way as well. But do the Bali Tosis need to be understood that way? Ellie, what do you think? I mean, what's the problem? Bali Tosis say you can eat meat. Adam can eat meat, he just can't kill the animal and eat the meat. But if he encounters the dead animal, right, he can eat it. Correct? So the Adramah says, I don't like that shot. Do you have the full language of the Adramah? Again, I didn't do a good job. Anybody have it? Yeah, Abram, go ahead. On the first part, before he gets to his own shot. This is on Nun Tesla base, by the way, in Sanhedrin. Yeah, read it. What's the Lav Milsa?
I'm not sure. It's on the board. I don't know that.
Okay, so read the Lav Milsa. Go ahead.
The Lav Milsa he, the Hav Basar Staham Karmina.
Yeah, then it goes to his pshat, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make is that the Ramah rejects the Bali Tosis pshat, and he does it because he thinks that the focus of Bali Tosis is on the Isser to kill the animal. Okay, a little bit like the Maral and Rashi, but in Maral and Rashi, it's not the halakha, that's just the but it's not so far from it. Is that really the pshat in the Bali Tosis? And then he asks a good question. He says, why does the Torah emphasize that you can't eat the meat? They should have emphasized, that you're not allowed to kill the animal. And what is this anyway? Is it kind of a mitzvah baba veira kind of a thing? Or it's like, gam, since you came to this by killing the animal, which is prohibited. The Torah never says you're not allowed to kill the animal to Adam. Right? So that's an interesting, but that's clearly how the Ramah understood it. If you look at the Kli Chemda from in Bereishis, I think it's the same quarter a few times, interesting pupulim on the Parsha. So one of his first pieces is about, I'll mention something else that he says soon, is about the question of Heter Basar and so on. So he also, when he talks about the Bali Tosis, he just makes the assumption, doesn't quote the Ramah. He quotes Ramah, but not this part of the Ramah. But it's already in the Ramah, and that is that according to Bali Tosis, the Isser is the Harigas HaBehema. The Harigas HaBehema somehow turns into, Isser Vachilas Basar. So again, it's like a Seat Raisa, it's a kind of, I'd say, like a Mitzvah Baba Veira. Whatever it is, it's in Nifgam, maybe it's more than that, but the Basar is Nifgam because it came about in this way. I don't think that needs to be the pshat in Bali Tosis, frankly, either. What else could one say? Alex?
Achila al-yidei hariga.
What's that?
Achila al-yidei hariga.
Exactly. That it has to do with the methodology or the chetza shel behema, right? Or basa, or maybe what it is that changes, something from being. I don't mean a gavra, because an animal is not a gavra, you know, the behema is a gavra. You know, the behema is an entity, as a as a as an active, you know, as a creator, you know, as a creature, you know, from being a chatza, right? And that the idea really is that if you kill, you know, the animal, as opposed to if the animal dies, right? That, let's say somebody else killed the animal. What would the Bali tells us all hold about that? Okay. I'm not sure. And even then, you know, according to both of views, I might be able to explain this. But just to make it starker, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that it's not about the Iser Harigas HaBehema. The Harigas HaBehema is something that defines how we look at the Basa. And whether this continuity, so we look at this as a chefta shel achila or ochel, right? Or do we really look at it, as I say, as like, you know, the an extension of the, you know, you're eating Molly the pet, or, you know, a Dolly the, what was the name of the cows last year?
Bessie
the cow, yeah, and Dolly the lamb. Okay, good. So, right, I mean, you're eating that. Like, how can you do that? That's like repugnant. And it's, you know, you know, it's indecent. It's, you know, it's probably not even human. You know? But if you're not eating Dolly or Bessie, you know, you're just eating meat or, you know, chefza, that's a different story. So if the animal dies, you know, normally, maybe even if you encounter it, you know, after it dies, so then you relate to it as a chafta shel basar, as an ochel. You know, but if you kill it in order to eat it, maybe even if it was killed, not sure, doesn't matter if it was killed by man or killed by another animal. I mean, there are a lot of gray areas here, which might be the nafkamina to what I'm talking about, or they might, you know, just be more technically debatable issues. But the point is that it's not a din in Isar Hariga. It's a din in the way we relate to the boss, perhaps. That would be a different perspective from the Tosis. Anyway, that's a view of Tosis. That's a view of, we have two or three views and three ways to look at Rashi, two ways to look at Tosis, primarily. It should be clear that the Rambam, you know, certainly disagrees. In the Rambam, you know, in Perek Tes, if somebody could get that, Philos Malachim, makes it perfectly clear that Adam, it's a simple reading of the Gemara that way too, and of the Pesukim, frankly, that way, you know, too. But certainly the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say that Adam was not allowed to eat basa. You know, end of story. So everybody have language of the Rambam? Azriel, you have it?
What?
Perek Tes Hilchos Malachim. These are the Shemitzot. Do you have the line about Basar itself? About Adam and Basar? Is it Halacha? I don't know. Sorry. Second. Good, then go to the next one. Not Halacha. Is it Dalit? Yeah, go ahead. The North Shahari. What? Okay, I'll have to look at the. Ram said explicitly at the beginning. Go down one. I should have brought my, again, I came from Abram and Achai. One second. Am I in the wrong parak?
Okay, then maybe I have the wrong pair.
The Rambam says explicitly, I thought it was a parak test, maybe I'm wrong. Okay, we'll have to look at the... the Rambam says explicitly that the Isur of Achilas Basar is Achilas HaBasar. Nothing to do with, but we'll look at the right. I just don't want to waste some time. So, yeah. Start late anyway. So, again, according to the Balei Tosas, and again, those who think that that's a child of Rashi as well. So, the change between Adam and Noach, or post-Mabel Noach, is obviously not so radical. Right? Because there already was a heter v'achilas of basar under certain circumstances. Again, we're wondering, you know, what those circumstances exactly are. Does it mean the animal died of old age? The animal died out of an accident? You know, the animal was killed by another animal, the animal was killed by another human being, just not you. Right? Those are all gray areas in the position of the Balei Tosfos. But at the end of the day, you know, what we call basar, you know, is permissible also to Adam. So really what changed between, you know, one and the other, one epoch and the other, was the methodology, right, of, again, either because, again, if you take the view, like the Rama understood and the Kukenda understood Balei Tosfos, it's even, you know, it's even less radical. Because it's basically, you know, we don't want people to, you know, for environmental reasons or for, you know, humanitarian reasons, you know, we don't want people killing animals. There's really nothing wrong with basar at all. If you take, you know, what I was suggesting, that's a little more than that, meaning you already have a certain recognition that there's a difference between, you know, basar is a cheftza, minutak in our imaginations, or maybe, especially if it needs to die of old age or an accident, you know, or maybe at least by another animal's hands, not by you, whatever it is, you know, so there's a difference between basar as a cheftza, and basar is, you know, something that has some sort of continuity, you know, with its, you know, living, breathing, bleeding, not bleeding, but bleating self, right? Like sheeps and other such things. Anyways, but all right, but even then, you know, the gap is not as great as it is according to the pashtus of the Gemara in this position of the Rambam, which is that chafsa shel basar, you know, was verboten, was prohibited, you know, to Adam HaRisha under all conditions. And in the time of Noach, you know, that changed. Okay, that also is mostly the view of the Adramah. The Adramah is very fascinating also. That piece, the continuation of the piece. Who was reading it? What's that? Good.
Avram.
You were doing such a good job. Again, these are just like off the cuff, so it's not... anybody else have the Adramah? The Adramah himself, Alex, go ahead.
From where?
From his own shot.
The
Anun Ainun Abba,
the
Boylan Purkos. Anun Ainun Abba, right. I looked into the matter. We looked into the matter.
Yeah,
and I have the solution.
Didn't he Piruka, the Hikamrina, the little Hutter Lo, Basar Lachila, Bob, Stava?
Well, by the way, what was the question that motivated the Ramah? Again, this is.
Did the Makshu Hachamiachar, the little Hutter Lo, Basar Lachila, Lama Lee, the Mesa, Abram Minachai?
Yeah, why is there an Isra Abram Minachai? Right, if there's no Heter Basar. Yeah, go ahead.
So he says, Did he Piruka, the Hikamrina, the little Hutter Lo, Basar Lachila?
So what does Ramah say? basically.
Whether you'd be killed or whether it's just...
That there's a huge nafkamina that basically the din that there's no heter achilas basar is a din that there was no matir. Not that there's an iser. It's not a chetzah shel iser. That's a whole different perspective. It's not that it was macholas asuros for Adam Arishon. Right? It's just that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. The Lashem Aretz Ba'a. So until he was matir, then you know, you need a matir. Without a matir, it's the default state is iser. Right? But that's not the same as an explicit iser. And the nafkamina is whether or not you chayv misa or not. Because if it's the Noach, you chayv misa. This would not have been a chiyuv misa. This would be like the equivalent of violating an asay or something like that. Okay. Again, the Klichemda on that piece in the beginning of Bereishis, interestingly enough, says, quotes this Ramah. He doesn't quote the other part of the Ramah, but he quotes this part of the Ramah. And he says, oh, what does he mean? He means it's just like the sugya in the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachos, that, you know, kohenenim olam hazeh v'lo bracha, harizem mo. Meaning, this is all him talking now, meaning that everything is literally kodshei shemayim until you are poded, or matirik. Okay, which he goes on to say, so that's how, he's trying to explain, well, how could Hevel have brought a, you know, Hevel gave you Hevi Gamhu, how could he bring a korban from a behemoth? How could he, if it wasn't edible, then it would be pisaron and mashke Israel. So how can you bring a korban if there was no heter achilas basar? So he says, oh, because the real reason is because there's no real achilas basar either. It's just that there's no matir because Hashem aretz v'loa, so it's like kadshei shemayim. It's like, you know, it's like being moel. But he brought it as a korban, so it wasn't. It was b'toras kadshei shemayim. And the reason that he can't eat it isn't because, per se, you're not allowed to eat it. It's just because he didn't have the matir. Okay. So I think that's interesting. I don't think that's what the Arama has in mind at all. I don't think he thinks that everything is kadshei shemayim. I think he thinks what he said, which is... But I think it's an interesting chat. But I think what the Yad Rama really means is that you need a matir. There's no matir. So there's no chiv misa. There's no lav kind of an iser, but there's no heter either. As for being a chisor and a mashki yisrael, maybe you could still say that that requires it to be an iser rather than simply lack of a heter. Yeah?
If that's true, what causes after the story of the mabul to bring the heter about?
Say that again?
Why is the heter only after the story of the mabul?
Well, either way, once there is, there is. I mean, what changed in the mabul, we'll see in a minute. But,
I'm saying it was really just the default and it wasn't...
I mean, the default, either way, I mean, whatever you're going to say, something changed in the mabul. I mean, the Rabbanu Shalom gave a heter, so he's matir, so it's no longer. Just like he was matir Yerek. I mean, in a way, you could say that that's a good shot in the Pasar, which says that the heter basar in the time of post-Mabel is based on the paradigm of Yerek for Adam.
So why wouldn't they have come originally?
Oh, no, okay. So that's still a question, but that's not a question more on the Ramah. We'll get to that in just a second, but that's not a question more on one sheet than necessarily than the other. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out what the range of views are in terms of what was prohibited and what was permitted, and how prohibited was it? I mean, was it really that the hariga was prohibited, but not the chafza? Was it that, you know, the difference between a chafza shel basar and a chafza shel behema shemeis? Or was it that, you know, do you need a matir? And if so, is that, you know, because otherwise it has status of like kadshei shemayim? Or is no, it doesn't need a kadshei shemayim, just that you need a matir. Those are different views into like how prohibited and what was the nature of the prohibition. Either way, we have to explain, we're going to have to stop in a minute, we'll pick up with this. Either way, we have to explain what the transition was. That's why did that? How did that change? We know that it changed. The Torah says it changed. But what's the significance of the change? Okay, there's another interesting argument about the original state of Adam, now, not just what was Asur, but whether or not the dietary boundaries of man and animal were the same. But that's also an interesting question. In Rashi, in Bereishis, seems to say here that they were the same. That whatever man was allowed to eat, animal was allowed to eat. Hitu l'bnei Adam ul kol sheyesh bo nefesh chaya, Lecha kol esa v'chol pre-eitz mutal la'adam. Okay? V'ha'esa v'ha'yerek l'chayos l'kol romans. Okay. Oh, sorry, I'm reading Ibn Ezra. The Rashi holds on way too. Let's read Rashi. Hishve lahem akasud, sorry, behema v'chayos l'macha. V'lo hir shal adam v'l'ishto l'ham izbiria v'lecha basar v'kol yerek esa v'yokul yachad kula. Right, because you're both now. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, if you look carefully at the psukim, even originally there was a difference between the diet of man and animals. Well, not, I mean, it's an interesting question. It also goes a little bit to the question, you know, did the gap between man and animal grow in the post-Mabel era only, or was it already there? Again, as we noted, as the Gemara, you know, points out based on Psukim, Limalacha, it was clear always that man was the focus of creation. There's never any kind of, you know, valid view, you know, that men and animal were identical. But clearly animals, you know, Kodom Nachash, certainly, and even, you know, post that period, may have had a higher standard, you know, in terms of preservation, in terms of other things, you know, than post. We'll see why that might be in just a sec. So the idea that an interesting, I guess, side issue is whether, you know, there was always a discrimination or a distinction between man's diet and animal's diet or not. Again, if there wasn't, it probably doesn't prove anything one way or another. If there was, it probably shows that even in the area of sustenance and consumption, right, you know, just because you can't eat animal or you can't kill animal to eat animal, etc., doesn't mean that there isn't a recognition, even when it comes to physical sustenance, that there's a difference between them. So it's just noteworthy that the Ramban disagrees with Rashi, and is medayik in the psukim, "Vayomer Elokim hinei nasati lachem es kol esav zorea zera asher al pnei kol haaretz es kol haetz asher bo pri eitz zorea zera lachem yelachla." That's a pasuk that refers to man. L'kol chayas ha'aretz, l'kol of ha'shamayim, l'kol rameis al ha'aretz, asher bo nefesh chaya, right, es kol yerek esev l'achla v'yichein. So Ramban says, no, if you look carefully, the animals were given vegetables, right? But they weren't given fruit, and possibly they weren't given seed. They were given vegetables, not seed. Because that's an interesting argument as well. Okay, we got to stop it a bit, so let me just get to part of the punchline at least. So what is the nature of this transition? So we'll talk about a few other views next time very quickly, and I don't want to get to the real marmakomos. I also want to add a couple of marmakomos to the real marmakomos. But if you get a chance also just to look at these, you know, just to look at them next time. But the Ramban is of the opinion that originally, if you can look at it for next time, it's really helpful. The Ramban in Bereishis and the Ramban in Noah, that originally, again, the more elevated status of animals militated against Achilas Basar. And remind me next time to also talk about what the Ramban's likely view is in the argument of, you know, whether Basar is per se Asar, or again, you know, killing for the sake of Basar is Asar. So the Ramban is of the opinion that mostly the malas habehema, let's say, and it's a very interesting piece. Right? He says, you know, after all, animals have, you know, their instinct leads them to self-preservation. You know, they choose what they want to eat. You know, meaning they have a will. What he's trying to say is they have a will of their own, and they have, you know, dimensions, you know, that reflect like a certain, I wouldn't say higher intelligence, but a certain, you know, status as a creature status. They're not just chepzas, basically. Now, he doesn't use that phrase, but that's kind of what he's saying. And therefore, originally, there was an Yisra Achilas Basar out of respect for that. Again, not the, you know, not a gzeira atu or a siag daraisa to, you know, per se, not to kill them or to make sure they don't get extinct or any of the things that we said before. Just per se, out of the value of what the animals were. What changed? So what Rabban says is that what changed is the relationship between man and animal. Not necessarily the animal's, you know, status, let's say, you know, declined, but the relationship between man and animal changed for pragmatic, because of the pragmatic or pragmatic fallout of the episode of the Teva. That's because Adam saved the animals in the Teva, right? So he was Zocha, you know, to, you know, this added element of dominion, notwithstanding, you know, the recognition, you know, that animals are a step up from domain and Someach, etc. So that's Ramban's view. So in a way, according to Ramban, it isn't so much, if you were to ask the question, like, you know, is this a function of, you know, an advance in civilization or a decline in civilization? The answer is for the Ramban, neither. You know, but it is a consequence of the internal relationship between, you know, animals and mankind. That's what it is. There are other Mefarshim, let me mention the Ran quickly. The Ran is of the opinion that really, kind of like, you know, again, the Ramban, Pirsh al Torah in general, you see this in Bereshis where we have the Radak, owes a lot to the Radak. Not so much the content, but at least some of the you know, issues that he discusses, and you know, you can definitely see continuity. Anyways, the Ran is of the opinion, the Radak rather is of the opinion, in his Parish and Bereshis, that really animal meat should have been permissible to Adam HaRishon. But since the Rabban Shalom has, crystal ball, he knows the future, he's Hayahom Aviyah, and he knew, you know, even then, what was to unfold in the story of Noach and the Teva. So he wanted to reward man. He wanted to give, in other words, what was supposed to be anyways the natural order, namely of meat consumption, he wanted to give that as a scar for Adam, you know, for his arduous good work in preserving you know, everybody and the species of animals in the Teva. Now again, you can like that shot or not like it, doesn't matter to me. What I'm trying to say, but according to the Ran, in other words, what's important about the Ran is that the Ran believes that Achilas Basar was originally part of the original design of mankind. Unlike Ramban, who thinks that it was not, and it was gained, you know, because of this internal change in the relationship. There are other Mefarshim who are of the opinion, two opposite opinions. One is that man evolved through the process of the Mabul, and therefore the gap between animal and man became greater, and therefore, you know, animals now are an appropriate source of nutrition or nourishment or consumption, right? Because Noach, you know, was a step up, you know, in Tzelem Elokim. And others who think the exact opposite, and that is that the Mabul proved that notwithstanding the ideal of man, you know, which would have been to be a vegetarian, to be a less physical creature, to be less given to his appetites, etc., etc., that, you know, he wasn't able of, you know, it's better to kind of channel his bestiality and his physicality, you know, into permitted areas, you know, than to, you know, to raise the pedestal, if you will, you know, so high. And therefore, the ideal, like the, you know, would be, you know, halachic vegetarians, you know, take that point of view, that really that is, or remains, you know, the ideal. That's not the view of the Ran at all. It's not necessarily the view of the Ramban either. Probably not the view of the Ramban either. And so these are two opposite views. These two opposite views are about, in general, the impact of the Mabul and Adam's world and Noah's world, but they reflect on the... Now again, if you take the view that there's a kind of a deterioration, so then you could also understand very much more easily why the need to repeat Tzelem Elokim, the Yisur Ritzicha, and Ramban, even though he doesn't take this general view, does emphasize that once you're permitting Basar, right, that you have to kind of... you know, you have to, you know, underscore again, you know, the limits, you know, of human conduct, you know, vis-a-vis other beings, maybe human beings, but, you know, so both. You have the Eirim Nechai, Dam Nechai, right, which may be a remnant, we'll talk about that, or, and, you know, the proper way to behave with other human beings. Okay, so I'll talk a little more about the language of the Ramban, because he mentioned Shechita in both places, the Ran and the Radak a little bit, but especially the Ramban, and then I want to talk more about this a little bit, and then get to the, after we get past this little part, to the main Mar Makomos I gave you. Just to the main Mar Makomos, also just add, I'll probably give you more to add later, but I don't think I have these in the original, that you should see also the psukim about Nevela. Again, we'll be discussing this more fully, but the psukim about Nevela and Trefa, and Ramban's at least there. The, psukim. Yeah. The pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin Tesvav, also, and the Ramban in, and the pasuk in Devarim Yud Dalet Chaf Aleph, and the Ramban there in Yud Dalet Chaf Aleph, right? Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Alokecha. And Shmos Chav Beis Lamed Anchi Kodesh Tiyumi Basim Sada Trefa Lo Tochelu Lakelo Tashlichu No So, and the Ramban there Chav Beis Lamed, and also the Gemara. I'm going to discuss this much more fully, but just be aware of it. In Avodah Zarah Samach Dalad Amud Beis appears Ezehu Ger Tosha. The different views as to what is a Ger Tosha. Okay, and I'll be adding more things as well. Okay, so what I want to do on Thursday, we're starting just a little bit late because something earlier. So Thursday at 11:30, we'll talk about, just finish this part, I mean Bereshis and Noach and some of the implications of that very quickly, and then to start with where does Shechita appear in the Torah, and especially what is the relationship between Shechutei Chutz and Shechita, and Nevela and Trefa, just to pose some of the questions. Again, we'll be breaking them down, you know, in various ways as we go forward. But at least this, as part of the Hagdama, to be aware of some of the, like, cognate issues. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Continue the drama next time.